Last week we began a series that I started to call The Fundamentals of the Faith, because I had read this little pamphlet and it had these seven outlines of the fundamentals of the faith and really nothing attached to them. And I thought, those are good. But I'm going to retitle it this week, The Foundations of the Faith, because the word fundamental is not a Bible word. It's not found in either the Old or the New Testament. And I do understand that well-intentioned Christian men around the early 1900s came up with this concept of being fundamentals and fundamentalists and wrote books about it. But foundation is a Bible word. As a matter of fact, we'll find it in a number of places. Turn, for example, to Psalm 104. Psalm 104. And so we'll call this The Foundations of the Faith. Psalm 104. Beautiful psalm. We'll just read for a while because I love the way it's written. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God. By the way, who is your God? Is it the Lord? It ought to be. It ought to be the Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, my God, Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who coverest thyself with light as with a garment, who stretchest out the heavens like a curtain, who layest the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire, who laid the foundations of the earth, that it should not be removed forever. So God had prepared a place in Genesis 1, the heaven and the earth, and He prepared a place for His creatures to dwell upon, and He laid foundations for the earth so that the earth would not be removed forever. It'll be remodeled, but it won't be removed forever, and those foundations are sure. And so as a Christian, in the faith we have, there are foundations. And so we started looking at them last week. The first foundation we saw of the faith is redemption through His blood. Colossians 1:14, that we needed redemption. There was a need because we are sinners. Those of us walking on planet Earth by the first birth, by our earthly birth in Adam, we are sinners. Jesus gave His blood to save sinners. And we saw the first foundation of the faith last week is redemption through His blood, Colossians 1:14. Today we're going to come to a second foundation of the faith. As a Bible-believing, born-again Christian, which is who I am speaking to, I believe, and if you're not, then I got a recommendation for you. God would like you to be born again, and He'd like you to be a Bible-believing Christian. A lot of people get born again. They never become Bible-believing Christians, but they are born again. A glory to God that people get born again without believing the Bible. There's a number of Christians that don't believe it because their leaders don't teach them to believe it. But we believe the Holy Bible that we have, the authorized version. And as born again, Bible believing Christians, we should know some of the precious gemstones within the walls of truth we have are redemption by the blood and regeneration by the Spirit. Now, regeneration is a compound kind of word. It has the word genero in there, and it has re in there. Genero is the word for genus or born or birth. And re is to do something again. So it's to generate a second time. It's to produce anew. It's to be born anew or born again. And born again you must be born again, Nicodemus, of the water and of the Spirit. It is the birth of a new spirit. Turn to Ezekiel. Turn to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36, a couple books to the right of the Psalms. Ezekiel, chapter 36. I like Ezekiel. Ezekiel was a prophet with a flint forehead that just preached against the strong headwind of the world coming against him. And it says in Ezekiel 36, verse 1, also thou son of man, prophesy unto the mountains of Israel. He's preaching to these big hard heads in Israel. He's preaching to them. And it says in Ezekiel 36, skipping down to verse 26, he says, a new heart also, the Lord speaking through Ezekiel, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you. The regeneration by the Spirit is the birth of a new spirit. Boy, that's what's needed down here on planet Earth. Folks, we have the wrong spirit. We tend to follow the wrong spirits. We listen to the wrong things. We hearken naturally to the wrong things. We are more prone to believing error than we are truth. And what we need is a new spirit, so we have the right compass to pick up the right truths and the right teachings that God's Spirit would like to give us. We need the birth of a new spirit. The problem with our spirit is that, well, to the Lord, it's kind of a stench. The kind of spirit that comes out of us, the kind of things we determine to do on our own. I don't know about you, but I'll just look at my own life. In my own life, I had no place for God, no interest in God. I was going to do what I wanted to do. I was a free-born American spirit doing my own thing. I had the wrong spirit. I was going to choose out my own life for me, as if I could see the end from the beginning. I had no idea that I was created by a creator with a purpose. And he had something he wanted to do with me. First and foremost, save me, have a relationship with me, and then use me to bring forth his glory. I had the wrong spirit in me. My spirit was dead in trespasses and sins. My spirit was cut off from God. I didn't have a good spiritual connection with God. It's like somebody had come along and clipped the line between me and God. You know who did it? I did it. On my own. And we've all done it. We've all willfully transgressed at some point in our life. When we got above the age of accountability, when we were old enough to know the difference between right and wrong, and to know the law, there was a point where we said, cut that voice off. I don't want to hear that voice anymore. Hang up on that. You know, I don't want to hear that call. That's a cold call. You're wrong. That's the hot breath of the mighty God. He's got some good news for you, but we cut it off. And our spirit's dead. Dead in trespasses and sins. And so the Lord said, you need regeneration of your spirit. It needs to be my work. It needs to be my spirit putting a new spirit inside of you. Putting my spirit within you. Because you're dead in trespasses and sins. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. We are dead in trespasses and sins. The very things we do, the sins we commit, the trespasses we commit, make us dead to the living spirit of the living God of the universe. And that's where we stand, dead in trespasses and sins. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Writing to church members who've received Jesus Christ as their Savior and are born again, Paul says, you know, there was a time you were dead in trespasses and sins. You had a dead spirit and you needed regeneration by the Spirit. You needed the birth of a new spirit. The first thing about regeneration, it is the birth of a new spirit, as we're seeing in Ezekiel 36:26. That's what we needed, because we were dead in trespasses and sins. So much so that Jesus had a peculiar way of looking at people when he saw people. Jesus not only saw people on the outside, he had like X-ray vision, like Clark Kent, and he could look right through on the inside, and he said this one day in Matthew chapter 8. Turn back to Matthew chapter 8. And if you don't have the X-ray of this Bible, you won't understand what Jesus was talking about. And in Matthew chapter 8, verse 18, Jesus saw great multitudes about him. And he gave command to depart to the other side. He had just been teaching to them for a while. But a certain scribe came to him and said, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me and let the dead bury their dead. And the man says, well, that's not exactly possible. I mean, corpses can't pick up another corpse and carry it over there. It doesn't work that way. And it reminds me of the story I heard once about they were doing a study with ants. They were doing this study with ants, and it was a scientific research project, and they had found out that ants secrete this scent called pheromones. And the other ants can smell the pheromone, and the pheromone directs them as to what to do. And when an ant dies, he puts out a pheromone that tells the other ants he's dead. They're not bright enough to know he's dead, unless they smell the pheromone. And then when they smell the pheromone, they go over, oh, dead ant. They haven't figured it out on their own that it hasn't moved for a while, hasn't carried any food. But when they smell that pheromone, then they'll go pick up the dead ant, and they'll walk him over. A whole bunch of dead ants, or live ants, will carry him and throw him on a pile with the dead ant skull. So one day what they did, the scientists took the death pheromone, and they painted it on a living ant. And so this living ant's walking around with a death pheromone. Other ants smell him and chase him down and pick him up and throw him with the dead ants. And he climbs off and walks away, and a whole bunch of ants pick him up and throw him on the pile with the dead ants. And they kept doing this to him over and over until the pheromone wore off. And here's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, you know, when I see animated living creatures who are dead in trespasses and sins, they're as good as dead to me. Let the dead bury their dead. Yeah, I know they're walking around and they look alive to you, but they're dead. They have the stench of death. They're dead in their trespasses and sins. Let the dead bury their dead. Therefore, you need a new birth of a new spirit. And it has to be a work done on the inside. You say, well, I'll get a good surgeon to do it. I've worked with a lot of good surgeons. And when they get on the inside, all they work on is more tissue on the inside. What you need is God to do a spiritual work on the inside. It's the birth. The regeneration by the Spirit is the birth of a new spirit, and it has to be God's work. Go to John chapter 1. You can't get a surgeon to do it, but you can get the great physician to do it, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 1. Jesus Christ, the true light, the Word, He was in the world. Verse 11, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them, verse 12, gave He power, John 1, 12, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. It takes God to put the birth of the new spirit in. The birth of the new spirit must be of divine origin. It must be of God. John 1:13. Ye must be born again, born of water and of the Spirit. Oh, you mean I need to be baptized? No, you see, a baptism a man does to you. You need God to give you the regeneration by the Spirit. It must be God's work. It's not of flesh. It's not of men, the verse says. It's not even something you do within your own spirit, of your own will on the inside. It has to be God's work. The regeneration by the Spirit has to be of divine origin. That's the only way it can be. And so we need God in the regenerating process. So many of the problems we see down here is I see people going to seminars. I see people turning on PBS. I see people watching and listening to talking heads, looking for a way to turn their life around, whether it's an Anthony Robbins seminar or it's some guy that likes to hug people and he's the love doctor. And all these folks, and whether it's Oprah or Dr. Phil, and they're looking for someone like this to put a new spirit in them, to give them the regeneration that they need, because they sense there's something missing in their life. And what they're not doing is they're not going to God, and they need to go to God. The regeneration by the Spirit has to be God's work. And notice when God does it. He does it, of course, when you believe on the name of His Son. The regeneration is an inner work that only God can perform. And the sad thing is, we're basically material animals today in the 21st century. We think of everything physical and we miss the spiritual. And so the regeneration by the Spirit is a foundation of our Christian faith. Our Christian faith does not have a foundation of running around doing good works. Our foundation is not one of going out and making the world a better place. Our foundation is telling people they need redemption in the blood of Christ and they need regeneration by the Holy Spirit. That's the foundation we stand upon. That's where we get the joy that we have, and that's one of the foundations we're out there telling others about. The fact that they need a new birth. The fact that the Spirit in them is not right, and the fact that they need God to do this work. And if they don't do it, notice what Jesus says in John chapter 3. John chapter 3. the confusion that religion causes. There's just such a multiplicity of religions out there. And here's a religious man, verse 1, of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night. And he said, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Nicodemus is saying, you know, when it comes to religious stuff, I've been around the block. And my friends, we've been around the block. And when it comes to examining miracles and signs and wonders, we know a lot of this stuff. And so we've looked at all this religious stuff, and we're recognizing you seem to have something from God, and so therefore you must have a higher knowledge that we need, and we want this higher knowledge that you have. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus says, well, I'm in religion. The kingdom of God is like the heart of my study. And Jesus says, well, as long as you're in religion, you're kind of in the dark and you're behind a veil and you've never seen it, because the regeneration by the Spirit is necessary for spiritual, I could say the word vision. Let me put the word sight. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Let's say insight. You cannot have any spiritual, proper, truthful, spiritual insight if you do not have regeneration by the Spirit. That means I can't know anything about the spirit world. You can know a whole bunch of error about the spirit world. Mm-hmm. And the spirit world knows just how to deceive you. And the spirit world knows exactly how to put all the wrong spirits out there. Turn in the back of your Bible to 1 John chapter 4. He knows exactly how to put these spirits out there. And if you lived in the era I lived in, I was born in 1954. And when I was young, we didn't have a lot of bookstores in the Buffalo area. There was a bookstore called Albrecht's many years ago. And it was maybe the only bookstore in the area. And they had a few branches here and there. But then along come Walden Books, and along comes Barnes & Noble, and they buy them out. And now there's a plethora of bookstores, and people seem to have a great interest in reading. And one thing I observed is in the 70s and the 60s when I went to bookstores, there was no section on spirituality. But today, if you go to Barnes & Noble and say to the young lady or young man working behind the counter, where's your books on the spirituality, the spirit? She'll take you, or he'll take you to a section where there are books on spirituality. And there's a plethora of books on spirituality. And I see people reading them. And I read through a little bit of it and I go, this is all full of error. 1 John chapter 4, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. These false prophets, using seducing spirits behind them, writing books that are unhealthy for you spiritually, you won't have any insight to know truth from error if you haven't had the regeneration by the Spirit of God. And I can sit there and dialogue with people reading those books, and they can't tell up from down or left from right. It's like taking an x-ray and putting it in the hands of a child and saying, would you put this up on the view box for me? He'll be lucky to get it right one out of four times. He'll make mistakes. Because he doesn't have the spiritual insight, and the regeneration by the Spirit is necessary for spiritual insight. In your own life, I'm sure you know the difference between how you understood religious teachings before you were redeemed by the blood of Christ and had the regeneration by the Spirit, and how you see them now. Mm-hmm. Except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He's saying, you know what he's saying to Nicodemus? He's saying, you don't even understand what you're reading. Turn back to the book of 2 Corinthians. Turn back to 2 Corinthians. And we'll look at chapter 3. Second Corinthians. Now we're talking, Paul is making the contrast between the Old Testament Jew and the New Testament Christian And by the way, Jew or Gentile can be a New Testament Christian, because Christ is the Lord over all, both Jew and Gentile. Salvation is of the Jews. And so the gospel is to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, to the Gentile. And Paul's saying this, though, verse 3:13. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, talking about the law. But their minds, the children of Israel's minds, were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. Even unto this day when Moses has read, the veil's upon their heart. In other words, if you take a Jew today and you give him the Old Testament scriptures and ask him to read through Jeremiah or the Psalms or the Book of Numbers and say, could you please explain this to me? Nicodemus, without the new birth, you cannot see the kingdom of God. He will not be able to properly and rightly interpret that passage. I sat down with the son of a rabbi, a highly intelligent man who has a doctorate in philosophy. And I sat down with him and I opened the book of Isaiah. And I said, I want to read this chapter with you, the two of us together. We've known each other for many years, and tell me what this means. And we read Isaiah 53. And he could not get that passage. So I don't know what that's talking about. I said, well, it's talking about someone that was wounded for transgressions and bruised for iniquity. Who do you think that's talking about? I don't know. Could that mean the nation Israel? I think that's the nation Israel. I said, well, then why is it using a singular pronoun, he was wounded for our? If he's the he, who's the our? I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure it's the nation Israel. Except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. No spiritual insight without the regeneration by the Spirit of God. You need to be generated anew, one of the foundations of the faith. And how necessary is it? You need the new spirit. You need God at work, and you need it to see things. Now, what will it do for you? Still in 2 Corinthians, turn to the 5th chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. That regeneration of the spirit. Verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He is a new creature. The regeneration of the new spirit produces a new creature. Second Corinthians 5:17. John 3:3. A new creature. Any new creatures here? Amen. Can you tell? Did something new happen? Was it like the lights went on inside of you as spiritual insight was given, and for the first time the Word of God made sense and the lights were on the inside and you're a new creature? And did you start seeing things differently? As a new creature, did old things pass away and did things become new to you? Did you go back to the workplace and see it differently? Did you go back to your family members and see them differently? I know I did. I remember, I mean, there's so much that God does as He regenerates by the Spirit. He puts a new spirit and a new heart inside. Remember, take away the stony heart. Put a heart of flesh in. I was a hard, cold-hearted person. I couldn't care about anyone except me. That was the way I was. When a commercial would come on and ask for money, I would flick that thing so fast, nobody got a nickel out of me except me. Charity was dead as far as I was concerned. Charity began and ended right at home. I gave no money to anyone. In terms of liking people, I couldn't care less. I couldn't care less. Let me do my thing. Stay out of my way. Or stay out of yours. I didn't like anybody, to be honest with you. That was the stony, cold heart. I didn't care anything about your condition or concerns. I was only worried about me first and foremost. A stony heart. All of a sudden, I went back to the workplace. I used to be at the workplace. I'd see those other doctors. I couldn't stand them. I never joined any of the associations. I'm not involved in any association. I want nothing to do with organizations. I just want to be left alone. This is the natural me, the stony heart that I had. When I would see those guys together, I thought, what a bunch of bums. So I remember I had just gotten saved, and I'm walking down the hall. And down the hall are three doctors having like a curb consultation, talking. And for the first time, my heart was moved in love toward them. It wasn't me. I was a new creature. All of a sudden, I mean, I found myself praying for those three men as I was walking toward them. I mean, God had changed my heart. For the first time, I would see a commercial about kids starving overseas, and my heart would be moved. And I'd say, honey, we've got to give some money to them. We've got to help those kids over there. And my accountant said, what's happening to your checkbook over here? I don't understand this. Last year, on such and such and such an income, you gave $197 away, and most of it was old clothes to the Salvation Army. What are you doing now? And a new creature. But it's only if you're in Christ. Why does it produce a new creature? And all of a sudden, it's great. I enjoy it. I enjoy being with people. I enjoy going. I don't join the associations anymore because they're $500, $600, $800 or whatever they are to join. And I give the money to charities that give the gospel of Jesus Christ out instead of an association of rich men that don't need it in the first place. But I'll go to some meetings with them and I'll smile and shake hands. And I'll do things like I was at a meeting with a whole bunch of doctors in the room, and it was one morning before they were just about to start the meetings. We'd been there about 3 days. It was a Wednesday. We'd started on Monday. And they said, now, you've been here for 3 days now. Why don't you give us some good tips about restaurants you've eaten at and share it with the other people? And so people were talking, and they said, anyone else want to make a comment? And I raised a hand. I said, look, I found a really good church over there where they believe the gospel, and I'll be going to Wednesday night service tonight if anyone wants to go with me. And if anyone has prayer requests, just let me know and I'll pray for you tonight. Amen. Well, you know, but I'm a new creature. I'm concerned about their soul. Amen. Nobody asked for prayer requests, but we prayed for them anyways. But it makes a new creature. The regeneration by the Spirit makes a new creature. I'll tell you what I did the next day on Thursday. I had 100 tracts with me, and I went to every table, and I put a gospel tract on every table. And the organizer of the meeting came, and they picked up every tract and gave it back to me. You can't do that. And I said, okay, fine. So I stood at the door and passed them out, and everybody came in one by one. But I'm a new creature. Old things pass away. Old things pass away. Now, if you want the regeneration by the Spirit, you must come to the redemption in His blood. This only comes with salvation. Turn to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. We'll just pick up reading in the third verse. The fifth verse is what we want, but I just like this. We ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. That was me. But, verse 4, after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, and it was not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. See, the regeneration by the Spirit only comes when you're willing to come to Jesus Christ and receive redemption through His blood. That's how the regeneration of the Spirit comes. The washing and the cleansing of the inside happens when we come to Jesus Christ. So the only way it comes is with salvation. Titus 3:5. It comes with salvation. Now God will bring this salvation to us in one very important way. Turn a couple books to the right and look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1, we go back to the 18th verse, seeing, for as much as ye know, ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. for someone like me, an Italian, that would be Father Tony, Father Bill, Father... I mean, the people that told me all the traditions, those weren't the things that redeemed me. How did it happen? Verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. The redemption came by the blood of Jesus Christ. But how did I learn about it? Going down to verse 23, being born again, not of corruption, of incorruptible by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. God had to bring the message to me through the scriptures. If it weren't for the word of God, what would we know about Jesus Christ? We're not going to learn about him in tradition. We're not going to learn about him in religion. You're not going to learn about him in the newspaper. Okay, you can check today's newspaper, see how many gospel stories are in there. You're going to learn about him on TV. Okay, maybe Christian TV, once in a while you'll get a good gospel message. But 99.5% of what's on TV, you're not going to learn about it. And most people aren't watching Christian TV. By the way, did any of you ever watch Christian TV before you got saved? Did you ever really park there on Trinity Broadcasting? Did you ever park on WDCX Christian Radio before you were... I didn't even know it existed. I didn't even know that station existed. When I was newly saved, somebody said, there's a Christian radio station. What? Where? Yeah, 99.5. I didn't know there's a Christian radio station. Who would do something like that? It makes no sense to me. I was an old creature. Now I'm a new creature. Now it makes sense to me as a new creature. They should all be Christian as far as I'm concerned. But it was the Word of God. It's the Word of God. God's going to, that salvation is going to come through you hearing the Word of God that's going to turn you to the living Jesus Christ, the resurrected Christ who shed His blood on Calvary's cross. That's how God's part is. God's going to use His Word. Salvation is necessary, whereby we must be saved. We are headed for perdition. Turn a couple books to the right to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. God will do His part. In number one, giving His Son. And in number two, making sure His Word is preserved so that you can hear it. But your part is 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth. Your part is to believe. Your part is to believe and receive that which God has given. To believe that record. Otherwise, you will never have the regeneration of God's Spirit. You will continue to live with your spirit, hearkening to the wrong spirits, reading the wrong things from Barnes & Noble, watching the wrong talking heads on television that will continue to lead you into a deeper and deeper quagmire of sin and frustration and guilt and cheap ways to try and cover it up. It's like someone that accidentally falls into muck and mire and filth and a septic tank and they smell and they're disgusting. And there's two ways to deal with it. One is to get washed and the other is to put a lot of perfume on it. And what's needed is the washing and the regeneration by the Spirit to cleanse that condition. But it only comes to those that believe. Whosoever believeth. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth Him, that begat, loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God. It's the new spirit of love, the spirit of regeneration, the regeneration by the Holy Spirit. That's the second foundation of the faith that we can never give up. Now I'll tell you something. This is being removed in certain Christian churches. I was talking with a born-again Christian, highly intellectual guy, high IQ, very much into doing research into university libraries. And he's doing a lot of research in university libraries, and he's coming to me saying, I got to tell you some stuff I found out. This is amazing stuff. Some things written way back in the 200 AD and 300 AD. It must be true because it's written closer to the time of Christ. And you know what the truth is? There is no Godhead. There is no Trinity. Well, if there's no Godhead and there's no Trinity, then there's no hope to have regeneration by the Spirit because the Spirit happens to be part of the Godhead. The very chapter you're in, 1 John chapter 5, look at verse 7. 1 John 5, 7. For there are three that bear a record in heaven. See, up in heaven, the Godhead is residing. Jesus Christ has done his work and he's ascended onto the right hand of the Father. There are three up there, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. There's the Godhead right there. Now the Holy Ghost, that's the Spirit, the first before you, number six. It is the Spirit that beareth witness because the Spirit is true. Now here's one of the foundations being removed in Christian churches by following writings. As a matter of fact, I showed him this verse. I said, you can't believe this, brother. I said, you got to know that the Godhead is a reality. It's stated right here in the Scriptures. Oh, you know what? That verse doesn't belong in the Bible. Help. God's given and preserved His Word for us. Otherwise, how will we know these truths? If the foundations be destroyed, Psalm 11, verse 3, what can the righteous do? Thankfully, the foundations cannot be destroyed. And the righteous have something we can stand on. And we have the Word of God. Now, sadly, that verse I read to you is missing in a Jehovah's Witness Bible. And if you get a New World Translation, you read that, 1 John 5, 7, and it reads something like this. There are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the verse is missing about the Godhead, which confuses me. Why even have the Spirit if there's no Godhead? But the Godhead is a reality. And the regeneration by the Spirit is one of the foundations of the Christian faith. And it only comes with salvation. And when it comes of God. And when it comes of God, it puts a new spirit and a new heart in you. And for the first time, you will have spiritual insight and you will be a new creature. Does that sound good to you? Is that a good promise? Well, it's one of the promises offered by God to anyone who will believe that Jesus is the Christ, both Lord and God. Will you confess? Will you believe? Then you can receive and have the redemption by His blood and the regeneration by God's Spirit. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the plain and clear teaching of this foundation in our faith of regeneration by the Spirit. Thank you that you've made us new creatures. Thank you for the new Spirit in us, the heart of flesh that now beats in tune with yours, Lord, and in time with yours, and also loves those down here that you love. Father, we ask that you would work in us and work through us and help us by spiritual insight to reach out to those who are in need to the redemption and regeneration that only you can give. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, today's the first Sunday of the month, and we're going to celebrate